Good to see you tonight. I appreciate the Lord. Glad His goodness is forever. He is a good God tonight. Acts 2, verse 42, we get a snapshot of the early church. A lot of people wonder how the church operated and did things back then. I want to say, first of all, tonight, I'm glad I don't have to read in the minutes of a church about what God used to do. He is a God of today, a God of tonight, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm glad that He has brought me in the family of God by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is very important to God. He gave His Son up for it. And it ought to be very important to us. In Acts 2:42, you'll notice the early church, they continued steadfastly. And they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Then verse 46, you find them continuing daily. Then in verse 47, you find them praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Thank you for standing tonight. Reverence in the reading of the Word of God. I want to preach just a few minutes this evening on the early church. The early church. I want to say that in chapter 1 and verse number 8 of the book of Acts, you'll find this early church had a priority that was exemplified. A priority that was exemplified. Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You'll find that their priority was exemplified. First of all, they had a priority to evangelize. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Aren't you glad our gospel's not out of date tonight? I'm glad Jesus still saves, oh sinners. I'm glad the gospel says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." I like this word, "for whosoever." You ought to shout thank God tonight that we got a whosoever God. A lot of boys run up down the road saying He only died for a few, but my Bible said He paid a ransom for all. And so tonight their priority was exemplified. They had priority to evangelize. That ought to be our priority tonight. To tell somebody about Jesus. Aren't you glad somebody told you about the best friend that you've ever had? They had a priority to evangelize. And then you'll notice in Acts 1 and verse 10, they had priority to visualize. He said, "While they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by Him in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven." They had a priority to visualize. Are you looking for the Savior tonight? Can I tell you, He's still coming back. I tell you why I know He's coming back, because He said He's coming back. And that's enough for me. They had a priority to evangelize, and they had a priority to visualize. But then thirdly tonight in Acts chapter number 4, one of the favorite passages in the Bible of Acts 3, where Peter and John went up together in the temple at the ninth hour. There was a man there from his mother's womb, had been crippled. He got saved. Peter said these famous words, "Silver and gold have I none, But such as I have, I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. Well, it tore a lot of people's nerves up in the town. They wanted to know how in the world all this had happened. And if we've ever had a priority tonight, we better have this priority to recognize without him, nothing happened. Because Peter said in Acts chapter number 4, and he says in verse number 7, when they'd set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Here it is, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. Folks, tonight the church is not a personality. The church is not about a one-man show. Honey, it's not about the Joneses paying the bills and calling the shots. It's about the one that hung on Calvary's cross that died for me and you. Thank God he's coming back. And hey, it better be a priority around here to recognize that it's Jesus. And it's still Jesus. And it'll always be Jesus. And it's not about you, and it's not about me, but it is about Jesus. And they had a priority that was exemplified. Boy, they said, let me tell you, if anything's going to happen, Jesus is going to do it. A lot of you've got problems, and you need some things handled. Let me tell you, the only thing's going to fix your situation, and that's Jesus. And there's nothing too hard for Jesus. A lot of times we've sold him short. But honey, let me tell you, he is the God of this Bible. And there's nothing too hard for him. You see, this early church, they had a priority that was exemplified. I'm afraid the church has sort of lost sight of the priorities. That honey, let me tell you something. Jesus still saves those sinners. Be careful not to point your finger at a sinner. Be careful not to stick your nose up at a sinner. If it wasn't for the grace of God, hey, we'd all be in hell tonight. And thank him for his amazing grace. They had a priority that was exemplified. Number two, they had a power that was emphasized. The Bible said in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 7, here Jesus is talking. He said, it's not for you to know the names or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And honey, we don't have any power except by the power of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost tears a lot of Baptist nerves up. It sounds like maybe it's too old-fashioned. Well, let me tell you something, honey. The Bible says it is the Holy Ghost. And so certainly tonight there was a power that was emphasized. And you'll see in verse number 8 of Acts 1, they had power in their testimony. Look what it said. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. I wonder, is anybody being a witness? Brother Lee stood up this morning and said, it's about time Christians to come out of the woods. Well, honey, let me tell you something. This early church had a power that was emphasized. They had powerful lives. Boy, wouldn't it be a blessing if we had that kind of power on our testimony tonight. Guard your testimony, friend. Your testimony comes at a great price. You lose your testimony, you'll be non-effectual. We better guard our testimony. Liberty Baptist Church, we better guard the testimony of our church. Thank God it ain't a big screen rolled in here tonight. If we wanted to build a church for the world, then we would call it something else beside a chair. You better watch a crowd, friend. Don't put church on their sign. Jesus died for the church, not the town hall. Had a power that was emphasized. Power in their testimony. Acts 3, Brother Gerald, your favorite passage. They had power in their temple. We're missing that in the church today. Matter of fact, they knew where to bring an old boy that needed help. They put him at the gate called Beautiful. And by the way, it ought to be the prettiest place in town. You ought to not throw your trash down on the grounds, and hey, the grass ought to stay cut. Hey, the paint ought to stay fresh. The carpet ought to stay clean. Somebody say amen right there. After some of your little hogs slop it, my Lord, it'd take 9 convicts to clean the floor up. But tonight, I'm going to tell you, honey, they brought him to a beautiful place. The church is a beautiful place tonight. And their power was emphasized. Power in their testimony and power in their temple. Boy, could you imagine that old boy been sitting down, taking up alms all of his life. Peter reached out and got him there out of the temple, and the Lord saved the pudding out of him. Man, I tell you, I noticed something that he done too. Peter says, "Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up." Well, he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up, stood and walked, entered with them in the temple, walking, leaping, and appraising God. You know what he's doing? He grabbed a hold of them boys. He said, "I ain't a letting you go because you done put something on me that I've never had. Ain't you glad one day you come by the temple and Jesus touched you and gave you something that you never had had?" Boy, they had power in their temple. Can I tell you tonight, folks, it is a crying shame when lesbians can keep a nursery in a local church and not be convicted of their lifestyle. It's a crying shame when the church looks like the world and the world looks like the church, but they had power in their temple. And if it's ever been a day that we're going to see lives changed, we got to have power in the temple. People come in and leave as they are. Honey, church, when we leave, we ought to leave different than how that we came. Oh, they had power in their temple. Wouldn't that be a blessing if we could see miracles like that again? I'm not talking about men knocking people in the floor and getting people to catch them and throwing blankets on top of them. I'm talking about this old-time Holy Ghost revival. Break up down Liberty Baptist Church and move in and go to saving sinners by the good grace of God. Let me tell you, honey, the Lord can still do it tonight. We need power in our testimony and we need power in our temple. This ought to be a powerhouse for Jesus. It ought to not be some type of dog and pony show. You hear me tonight? It ought to be a place where you can get help by the grace of God. A lot of you drive a long, long way. I hope you don't waste gas money to get down here. So they had power that was emphasized. Power in their testimony. Power in their temple. And in Acts 17, they had some Pharisees got against them. They had power in their town. It's bad when a liquor store can open up next door of the church house. It's bad when a beer joint will come across the road. Hey, if you stop at that store down there, I hope you have 4 flat tires before you pull out of it. Put their beer signs up right in God's house. Honey, I guarantee you 50 years ago, the old timers in Bowden, Georgia wouldn't have stood for it. Because they had power in their town. Now the average preacher, he's got more girlfriends than the town drunk's got. No more separation between the church and the world. We've lost our influence in the town. But honey, let me tell you something. Jesus ain't laughing about it. It's a crying shame when a beer joint will open and a stone's throw from a churchyard. And everybody wants to blame somebody else. I asked the city about it, and they said, well, it's the county's fault. You ask them about it, it's the state's fault. I tell you what's the matter with our town. We ain't got no respect in our town. You go down there and you buy their beer, and you look at their dirty books and smoke their cigarettes, tell their jokes, and wonder why we ain't got no power in the town. Well, it's time to look up. We ain't praying right now. You go down in the Mexican restaurant, order your little drink, get in the side booth and try to hide it, and you nearly swallow the whole glass when the preacher walks in. They had power in their town. Honey, I guarantee you used to. The church run the town. Power that was emphasized. Then, not only did they have a priority that was exemplified and a power that was emphasized. By the way, they said, these boys have turned our town upside down. Wouldn't that be a blessing if we had that kind of power come out of this property? People, wouldn't it be a blessing if people passed by, they had to pull over and get right out in front of the church? Wouldn't it be a blessing instead of them stealing your porch rockers, they'd bring you some and put it back? Well, wouldn't it be a blessing if we could just take the alarm out of the house of God tonight? Man, it's amazing. It's bad when the Bowden police have to swarm this place like a beehive. Keep vandals and vagrants out. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. They had power in their town. They said, these boys, they do exceedingly trouble us. They turn the world upside down. Oh, I wish we had that kind of power out of this ministry tonight. Let me tell you, folks, it's a shame and a disgrace when sinners can come in this place, not be convicted about their lifestyle and about their eternal world that's soon to face them. The early church had a priority that was exemplified. They had a power that was emphasized. In Acts 2, they had a people that was energized. I like it because they was filled people. In Acts chapter number 4, the wind got to blow. And I love it when the wind's blowing. The Bible said in Acts chapter number 2, he said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. It appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Tonight, they were filled people. And then you'll notice also in verse 1, they were faithful people. If you've ever met a preacher that's on a bandwagon about one thing, and that's faithfulness. I believe we ought to be faithful to our God, faithful to our church, faithful to this book. And tonight, they were faithful people. They were in one place. Thank God we can get together and come out of this old world into one place. And it comes at a great price tonight. The people were energized. They were filled people. They were faithful people. The Bible said, verse 1, they were friendly people. They were all with one accord. Isn't it a blessing to go to church where you got some friendly people? My goodness, people walk in like they've been eating gravel gravy and sawbriars all week and lost a best friend. Friend, I'm going to tell you, a smile and a handshake could go a long way. There's nothing no worse. You can ask Brother Kurt here tonight to go to a place to preach and nobody comes by and says a word and they call on you and you wonder, well, what am I doing here? Oh, I'm going to tell you what, you might not have money. You might not have a lot of things in this world, but you can have some friendliness in you tonight. And so they were friendly people. I like it in verse 42 of this early church, you get a snapshot of them. They were fellowshipping people. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Fellowship's very important. Very important. Thank God we can fellowship tonight. I'm glad we can talk to our brother and sisters and come in and pray together one for another. And then they were fearful people in verse 43. And fear came on every soul. We're missing that in the church tonight. For I'm going to tell you, I fear God tonight. They were fearful people. Verse 44, they were free-handed people. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Boy, that's the way a church ought to operate tonight. I don't see where they drew straws or took a vote. They just done right. And I'm going to tell you folks tonight, it's still in order to do right. Aren't you glad you can help people? And aren't you glad you go to a church where you can get some help? I remember my early church days. I always felt so bad, Brother Lee, so embarrassed for people that had to be stood up before a church and call the name before the church could pay the light bill and vote on it if it's okay. What happened to common sense in the church house? We're not here to embarrass people. We're here to help people. They were free-handed people. I thank God I go to church tonight with free-handed people. There's a lot of independent churches tonight call themselves missionary Baptist churches, but yet they don't support mission. They ought to take their sign down off the road. Friend, Jesus is in the soul business. He's not in the saving money business. They were free-handed people. Verse 46, I like this, they were fanatical people. Watch this, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness. I've been called a fanatic, so I looked it up. I wanted to know what I was. It helps some of y'all to look up what you are. Fanatic says they're marked by excessive enthusiasm for an intense devotion to a cause. A fanatic is one who can't change his mind and won't change the subject. Brother David, I'm glad to be a fanatic for Jesus tonight. Brother Tim, thank God I'm a fanatic for Jesus. There's a preacher told my wife one time, said, Ken's going crazy. Said, all he wants to do is read his Bible and study all them books. Now he's going to go crazy. No, I'm a fanatic. Because I believe in excessive enthusiasm and intense devotion for the one that hung and died for me. I'm glad I pastor some fanatics. They keep Pharisees out. They were fanatical people. And then I love this, there's fit-throwing people. Said this in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And evidently the Lord liked it, because He added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, they've been to this time to 120 people in this church. Boy, the Lord starts liking what they're doing, and He starts adding, and then He starts multiplying. And tonight, this early church, they had a priority that was exemplified. They had a power that was emphasized. They had people that was energized, but I want to close with this last thought tonight. They had prayers that was exercised. Acts 4. You'll notice, first of all, in Acts 1, verse 13, the prayers they would make. Are you making any prayers? The Bible said, in Acts 1 and 13, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew, Matthew the James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. They had prayers that were exercised. The prayers that they would make. They would get together and start making prayer. Notice this. They all continued with one accord, even with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Tonight, I want to say this. Prayer don't need proof. Just practice. Prayer don't need proof. Just practice. Prayers that were exercised. You'll see, prayers they would make. But in Acts 4:31, they had prayers that would shake. I wish we could get a hold of that kind of praying. The Bible said when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. When they had prayed, the place was shaken. I can always tell you how to pick things up. Just go to praying. Could you imagine when they prayed, it shook the place? Wouldn't that be a blessing if we could get to that kind of praying and it would shake sinners tonight? Wouldn't it be amazing if we could pray and it would shake the saints of God up tonight, stir them in such a way, stir me in such a way that it would change our lives drastically? See, they had prayers that were exercised. We see that prayers they would make, they had prayers that could shake. But I want to say lastly this evening in Acts chapter number 12, verse number 5, they had prayers that would take. I wonder, is your prayers a taking? Acts 12, 5, Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made. And look how it's made, without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Rise up quickly," and the chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals," and so he did. He saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him. and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, I imagine that'd shake us up too. He said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, had delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. They said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, "It's his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and were astonished. They had prayers that would take. Tonight, if it's ever been a time when we better get back to praying, it is tonight. I say again, prayers don't need proof. Just practice. Y'all remember when the drought hit? We had a prayer visual up on the tabernacle. God is my witness, this happened. You that was there, you seen it. Hadn't rained a drop, and God's people began to pray and read that book. And I'll go to my grave remembering standing up there with that book open. Heaven opened. It started to rain. He said, "Preacher, you really believe there's a God?" More than I believe it's a Super Bowl going on tonight. I know He lives, because He lives in my heart. Tonight, I beg you to make some prayers. Get together alone in your prayer place and talk to a God that can change your circumstances. A God that can put power in this church like a community's never seen. I don't know about y'all, but this is my vision. I've got a vision that God would reach a community and God would reach sinners that nobody else wants. Because this is what I done found out. They're my kind of people. And honey, they'll come get where you've been a parking at. They'll come sit where we've been a sitting at. And they just glad to be here. I'm glad He still saves those sinners tonight. Oh, my Lord, church, could we ever get back to realizing our prayers must be exercised. You grand young'uns, they know where you hunt, where you fish. Do they know where you pray? Ladies, you young'uns know where you shop, where you get groceries. But do they know where you pray? May God help us tonight to learn from this early church. He is the Lord, and He changes not. Stand with us this evening. I appreciate you being here.